Good afternoon, 4:30 and 69 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Sean Delaney.
We said and campaigned on ideas, and guess what? Those ideas were brought to the chambers and passed.
Senate President Robert Stivers calls the 2017 Kentucky General Assembly impressive by anyone's standards.
The brothers accused in the killing of a Vanceburg man pled innocent today in a Lewis County court.
And the Maysville-Mason County Industrial Authority has a new leader.
In sports, UK's Malik Monk declares for the NBA draft.
But Luke has the business news.
Mostly cloudy and breezy tonight. Lows in the mid-40s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
The two brothers accused in the murder of a 28-year-old Vanceburg man last week have pleaded innocent to the charges in Lewis County District Court. 52-year-old Preston Walters and 53-year-old Vince Walters, both of Garrison, were arraigned today in the death of Justin Johnson. Police say the victim was shot in the back and then thrown over an embankment near the Lewis-Carter County line. Preston Walters is accused of capital murder, abuse of a corpse, tampering with evidence, and cultivation of marijuana. Vince Walters is charged with abuse of a corpse and tampering with evidence. Both men are due back in court April 11th.
WSAZ is reporting that an autopsy on a Chesapeake, Ohio man murdered last week found that he was stabbed multiple times in the neck, back, and chest. The autopsy was conducted Saturday by the Montgomery County Coroner's Office. Lawrence County Sheriff Jeff Lawless says David Atkins' body was discovered Friday inside a refrigerator in the basement of a house on Rockwood Avenue. His wife, Tina, is charged in the killing. She faces a preliminary hearing this Friday. A juvenile girl is also charged in the case. She's accused of delinquency by tampering with evidence.
A Kentucky sheriff has resigned after pleading guilty to charges stemming from the theft of painkillers from a terminally ill cancer patient. WDRB reports that Carroll County Sheriff Jamie Kinman resigned Monday after pleading guilty to 11 charges related to the theft of painkillers. His plea comes as an opioid crisis sweeps the U.S. and reaches epidemic levels in the state. Kinman's plea required him to enroll in a one-year rehab program and resign. He was sentenced to 5 years of probation and could have the convictions dropped if he does not get into further legal trouble.
Kentucky's governor has issued an executive order permitting certain offenders to vote and hold office in the Commonwealth. Here's Haley Hansen.
Governor Bevin restored the right to vote and hold public office to certain offenders who have completed their respective sentences and have applied for restoration of their civil rights. In a statement, Bevin says, quote, "We have always been a nation of second chances, and the criminal justice system should not exist solely to punish offenders." Bevin goes on to say, through this executive action, we are empowering men and women with the opportunity to become contributing members of our communities. I'm Haley Hansen.
Some 125 educators will be making presentations next week at the FIRE Summit in Pikeville. FIRE stands for Funding Innovation in Rural Education, and their projects will be showcased during the April 12th event at the East Kentucky Expo Center. Those initiatives were made possible by a federal Race to the Top grant awarded to the Kentucky Valley Education Cooperative, which in turn dispersed the funds to teachers in the region. One of the coordinators of the summit is Vivian Carter. She's with the Hazard Independent Schools. Carter tells WYMT's Issues and Answers some of the innovative projects that were awarded grants last year were as basic as classroom seating arrangements. She says one teacher in the Hazard District explored options to the traditional cemetery seating in most rooms.
She called hers alternative seating. And so she had bean bags, and she purchased with the grant, the funding that she received, bean bags and lawn chairs and a futon. And the students actually get to choose. Of course, they establish the protocol, you know, and what kind of standards of behavior that they expect in the room. But they get to choose. And she said it has been amazing.
Next week's day-long summit will be streamed live online. It can be found at www.theholler.org.
Calling him a great fit for Morehead State, retiring university president Wayne Andrews is excited that Dr. J. Morgan has been named as his replacement. Andrews says Morgan's experience as a small-town guy and his work with the State Council on Post-Secondary Education to construct the new performance-based funding formula for Kentucky's colleges and universities will serve him well in his new role. He believes Morgan will also be helped by taking over MSU's presidency on July 1st.
I think it's a real good thing. Of course, he mentioned this morning he's going to have a new baby coming in July, too. So for his family, it's going to be a busy time. But starting in the summer, I started in January, as you'll remember. And it was hard because I had to hit the ground running. He'll have a little breathing room, you know, where he'll be able to get out and meet people in the region, in the community, the folks that are here in the summertime. So I think it's a good way to start.
Andrews says he'll also work with Morgan to help him have an orderly transition into his new role as Morehead State's next president.
The Maysville-Mason County Industrial Board has chosen a new director for the agency. The group has hired Randall Lohman to replace Gene Weaver, who retired in February. Maysville Mayor David Cartmell sits on the board and says Lohman will not only be expected to bring new jobs to the area, but will also be in charge of protecting the jobs they have.
We have a really good industrial base here, a good portfolio of companies, and we want him to work with them to see what we can do to make them better. And that's one of his interests were. I mean, he's of the opinion that we have a lot here, and sometimes that the local people, like it is all through Kentucky, don't see what you have.
Lohman comes to Maysville from Joliet, Illinois, where he worked to facilitate business for Indicom Electric Company. Besides private industry, he also has extensive experience in the government, medical, education, and hospitality fields.
The director of the Ohio Legislative Services Commission is forecasting slightly better revenues for the state this year than those predicted by the governor's Office of Budget and Management. Mark Flanders told the Senate Appropriations and Revenue Committee he thinks tax collections from all sources will top $22.2 billion this year.
This is about $110 million higher than the current estimate by OBM. For fiscal year 2018, we forecast total GRF tax revenue to be about $23.1 billion, a gain of $820 million. This is about a 3.7% increase, reflecting moderate growth in most tax sources.
And in 2017, Flanders is predicting revenues of $24 billion, reflecting a growth rate of 3.8%.
Kentucky Senate President Robert Stivers is praising the 2017 legislative session that ended last week. The Clay County Republican says much was accomplished. Stivers says GOP candidates for the House and Senate ran on issues like right to work and charter schools, and then followed through with legislation once they took office. He spoke with Spectrum Cable's Pure Politics.
If this were a Democrat session, and not that it was a Democrat-controlled chamber, that if they set an agenda and passed as much of their agenda as we did ours, I would say, hey, that's impressive. This was an impressive session.
This year's Kentucky General Assembly was the first in nearly 100 years in which Republicans had a majority in the House of Representatives.
Kentucky's senior senator told reporters this afternoon that if he uses the so-called nuclear option to end a filibuster and force a vote on Neil Gorsuch for a seat on the Supreme Court, it would not have a lasting impact on the Senate's legislative work. Republican Mitch McConnell is majority leader in the Senate. He says prior to 2001, Supreme Court nominees did not require 60 votes for confirmation.
The practical effect of what appears likely to happen later this week is to move us back to what the tradition has been in the Senate on the executive calendar, to where we were before Bush 43 got elected. If you think of it that way and you view the Senate through the history of the body, the practical effect of all of this will be to take us back to where we were.
McConnell accuses Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer of drafting the strategy just after George W. Bush became president to employ a filibuster requiring 60 votes in order to compel a floor vote on the Supreme Court nominee.
Kentucky Senator Rand Paul is hoping his Sunday on the golf course with President Donald Trump will help Republicans end their stalemate on repealing and replacing the Affordable Care Act. Paul left the outing optimistic that the opposing sides on the issue can eventually forge an agreement.
I think the sides are getting closer and closer together, and I remain very optimistic that we will get an Obamacare repeal.
Paul is a member of Congress's so-called Freedom Caucus.
Ashland City Engineer Ryan Eastwood is encouraging residents of the city to contact his office if they feel their street is in need of resurfacing or repair. Although the city has already released its list of 32 paving projects for this year, Eastwood says it's possible some deserving roads or alleys were left off of it. He says it's impossible to know where all the trouble spots are unless citizens tell him about those places.
We have hundreds and hundreds of miles of street, and there's some of these small little courts and cul-de-sacs and alleys and things like that that I just don't go on unless, somebody calls me and has me look at them. I try to drive all the streets in the course of a year, but I never see them all.
Eastwood says his office will inspect any project about which residents contact him to see if it qualifies for placement on the priority list. Ashland is planning to do nearly $700,000 in street paving projects this year.
More than 7 in 10 people in one of the nation's largest tobacco-producing states support a statewide smoking ban for most public places. It's the highest level of support ever recorded in polling by the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky since the group first asked the question in 2011. Anti-smoking advocates hope the numbers will fuel a renewed push for a public smoking ban in a state that leads the country in the number of tobacco-related cancer cases per 100,000 people.
April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month, and statistics show that Kentucky has the second highest rate of child abuse in the nation. However, Dr. Aaron Frazier is medical director for the Office of Prevention and Wellness at Norton Children's Hospital in Louisville. She says the abuse death rate in Kentucky is actually steadily declining. She credits that to more awareness about the problem and earlier reporting of incidents of child abuse.
Most children are not just abused one time in their life. They tend to suffer from abuse over and over. And so the earlier that we can find these children, the more likely we are to prevent them from actually dying from abuse.
She says early ways to detect abuse is to look for unusual bruising around a child's torso, ears, or neck. Frazier says it's rare for children under 4 years old to have bruises in those areas. Kentuckians can call 1-877-KY-SAFE to report suspected cases of child abuse.
A friend of Morehead State University and this radio station has died. Former WMKY general manager and MSU faculty member Larry Netherton passed away Friday in Louisville. He was 75. Netherton served the university and WMKY for 25 years, retiring in 1966. The studio from which we are broadcasting this afternoon is named after him. WMKY was unquestionably one of his passions, and he loved NPR. Every radio in his house was tuned to 90.3 FM. Though he and his wife Mary Jo moved to Shelbyville several years ago to be near their daughter, Larry was a longtime member of the First Christian Church in Morehead. He was known as an advocate for civil rights, the environment, and wildlife. According to the family, no services are planned at this time, but a celebration of life will be held at a later date.
Taking a look at the weather forecast in the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, low of around 47 degrees. Tomorrow, partial cloudiness early with scattered showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. A few storms may be severe, high of around 76 degrees, chance of rain at 50%. Wednesday night, thunderstorms in the evening, then variable clouds overnight with still a chance of showers. Low of around 50 degrees, chance of rain at 80%. Thursday, cloudy skies, some rain is likely, Morning high of 50 degrees with temperatures falling to near 40 degrees, chance of rain at 80%. And on Thursday night, rain and snow showers in the evening will be transitioning into snow showers overnight, low of around 34 degrees, rather. Chance of precipitation at 70%. Expect snow of around 1 inch. Right now in Ashland, it's 69 degrees. In Flemingsburg, it's 66 degrees. It's 72 degrees in Inez, 69 degrees in Lexington and Winchester, and it's 69 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:45 on our feature segment this afternoon, we have commentary from retired Morehead physician Ewell Scott. He asks why health insurance and the total cost are so expensive.
We here in the USA spend more money on health care per capita than in any other country in the world by a factor of two. Yep, twice as much per capita. Yet, still, our system does not cover us all. Even under the current Affordable Care Act, which is now under challenge, we still have 25 to 30 million uninsured Americans. But the answer is simple as to the overall cost. Why is it? The reason is excessive administrative expense from for-profit health insurance companies, those familiar names of companies you love to hate, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Anthem, Humana, Aetna, United. Some of these are the most familiar and the biggest. The dirty word here is overhead. The money spent on advertising, promotion, accepting and analyzing claims, denying claims, rent for their massive workplaces. Have you ever seen the Humana building in Louisville? It's about 40 stories long, made out of expensive marble. Anyway, 20 to 30% of your premium dollar does not go to your provider, but to their large overhead. They need lots of money to buy the Super Bowl ads and other promotions designed to sign up the wealthy and healthy for their product. Avoiding patients with pre-existing illnesses was a former goal, but the Affordable Care Act made that illegal. CEOs of these corporate giants are famous for their obscene compensation levels, adding insult to injury. Hospitals and your physician's office staff must spend tons of money to send out requests for payment. The process is made more complex and thus more expensive as each company has their own unique rules, forms, and procedures. Is it possible to carry out these functions in a more efficient and less expensive way? You bet there is. Medicare, the seniors' single-payer plan, does it for a 3% cost. You know, one can do the math. If you can multiply, you could multiply 3% times $3 trillion, or you can multiply 20% times $3 trillion annually. A reduction in overhead means incredible savings, estimated at $600 billion per year every year. To put that figure in perspective, Kentucky's total annual budget is $9 billion. Think of all that money we would save. It could even go for education. It could pay the way to college for most of our students. But no, we'd rather give it to the private health insurance companies. Yet the Affordable Care Act was written by private health insurance companies, and it mandates that Americans purchase private health insurance. If you do not, you currently pay a fine at tax time. So the obvious, remarkably simple solution is to eliminate private, for-profit health insurance companies and task Medicare to do the job more efficiently. And we can use the savings for other purposes, like education and better infrastructure. That saved money can be invested in other companies to create jobs. Private health insurance must be eliminated from the equation. Their expensive ways must be discarded. We Americans deserve better. We demand better. Tell your representative to replace the Affordable Care Act with Medicare for All.
Retired Rowan County Dr. Ewell Scott says such a measure has already been introduced in Congress as House Resolution 676. All things considered at 5 o'clock, and Braxton has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for programming on Morehead State Public Radio is provided by Donate Life Kentucky. By joining Kentucky's Organ Donor Registry when renewing your driver's license, you can help 1,000 Kentucky children and adults who are waiting for a life-saving transplant. Anyone can register as an organ donor, no matter your age. More information is online at trustforlife.org.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Kentucky freshman guard Malik Monk has announced that he will enter the NBA draft and hire an agent. Monk averaged 20 points and 3 rebounds a game last season for the Cats while being named the SEC Freshman of the Year. He is projected as a top 5 pick in June's NBA draft. One other note from college basketball, the NCAA announced today that it will return to North Carolina for championship events after the state reached a compromised repeal of HB2. NCAA men's basketball's first and second round tournament games will be held in Charlotte as previously scheduled in March of 2018. The NCAA moved this year's first and second round games from Greensboro, North Carolina to Greenville, South Carolina in response to the passage of HB2. Despite losing key senior Shea Steele and Brianna McQueen, Morehead State women's basketball coach Greg Todd says a cupboard is not bare as his team looks to build on this year's 21-10 finish next season. Todd says MSU has a lot of building blocks to move forward with, starting with junior forward Ariel McKee.
Ariel McKee had another stellar junior season, scoring over 1,000 points and being a very solid rebounder for us. And Miranda Crockett should reach 1,000 points if she stays healthy next year as a junior. And then Darian Seward had a outstanding year as point guard.
McKee averaged 11 points and 7 rebounds a game last season. Crockett 11 points and about 5 rebounds, and Seward clicked for 9 points and over 5 assists a contest. Morehead State baseball coach Mike McGuire insists the best is yet to come for his Red Hot Eagles. Even though the ball club has won 9 straight and 17 of its last 18, McGuire insists MSU can still get even better.
Yeah, we've got some guys that are just now getting going offensively. We're getting to the point now where we are 9 deep lineup every day. And then I think if you look at our pitching staff, you know, it was a young pitching staff. We talked about that at the beginning of the season. And those guys are just getting better and better every time out. So we've talked about that a lot as a club is, you know, yes, we're winning games and we're playing well, but we aren't anywhere close to our ceiling yet.
The 22-6 Baseball Eagles have a 5 p.m. contest tomorrow at West Virginia. After dropping their season opener yesterday 4-3 to Philadelphia, the Cincinnati Reds will resume their series tomorrow night at home with the Phillies. The Reds' top highlight in Monday's game came with a ninth-inning home run by Scooter Gennett. A native of Lebanon, Ohio's dinger came in front of a Great American Ballpark opening day crowd of 43,804 fans.
It was great. It was great. A lot of energy. We string a few wins together. Hopefully, guys, all the fans show up again, and that's the idea. Just win ball games and give them something to really look forward to.
Gennett was recently acquired by the Reds from the Milwaukee Brewers. Just one afternoon baseball game in the major leagues today. The Tigers currently lead the White Sox 6-2 in the seventh inning. Former Round County baseball star Cameron Plank is beginning his climb towards the major leagues. The 6'3", 210-pound right-hander, who was taken by the New York Mets in the 11th round of last year's amateur draft, will start 2017 with the Gulf Coast League Mets in Florida. After a winter of hard work, Plank wants to continue refining his game this summer.
I see myself as more of a pitcher this year and less as a thrower, if that makes sense. I'm learning how to, change speeds more and not have to throw as hard as I can every time. So I've just made huge strides as far as just being more mature as a pitcher, if that makes sense.
The Gulf Coast League Mets are one of the big club's rookie league teams. The Morehead State softball team is currently in doubleheader action at home with Northern Kentucky. In the first game today, the Eagles defeated Northern 4-2. Currently in the second game of the day, MSU and NKU are tied at 0 in the second inning. MSU head coach David Williams says his team getting a chance to step out of conference play today is beneficial.
Anytime we can get on the field right now, it's beneficial. You know, we've got still some things at this point in the season we got to work on and get better at, and we're starting to get into the heart of our conference schedule, so any opportunity we can get to step out of conference and get some games to prepare us for those conference games is really important.
The softball Eagles have a doubleheader on Saturday with Eastern Illinois. And finally, in sports, with several starting and key backup roles up for grabs, Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier expects the Eagles to have a spirited spring camp. Tenier also believes that constant competition will help the cream rise to the top of the MSU depth chart.
We've got to make sure that we have the right pieces in the right places regarding our offense, defense, and even in our kicking game. So everything that we do will be competitive from top to bottom. We're going to put them in game scenario situations. In best man win.
MSU's biggest holes to fill this spring include quarterback, wide receiver, defensive line, linebacker, and safety. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Eagle football's spring football game is set for Saturday, April 22nd. The tailgate area opens at 11 a.m. with a 1 p.m. kickoff. Former Morehead State football players who receive Pioneer League honors will be recognized at halftime. More information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities ended today's session mostly flat ahead of a key meeting between President Donald Trump and China's president. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 39.03 at 20,689.24. The S&P 500 was up 1.32 at 2360.16. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 3.93 at 5898.61. New York Stock Exchange breadth was flat as winning stocks just about equaled losing stocks on the big board. In economic news, the U.S. trade deficit narrowed in February to $43.56 billion, and this was actually lower than what had been anticipated, as going into the report, analysts were expecting a number just under $45 billion. Treasury yields, which move opposite to prices, rebounded as bond prices dropped, with the benchmark 10-year Treasury closing today near 2.35%. Earlier, it touched its lowest level since late February. Other data released included factory orders for February, which rose 1%, and that was in line with expectations. Overseas, European equities traded mostly higher, with the Stock 600 index rising 0.2%. In Asia, stocks closed mostly lower, with the Nikkei 225 sliding almost 1%, and Korea's Kospi index falling about 0.3%. In the commodities markets, oil was up 1.6% to finish at $51.04 a barrel, while gold was down, or I should say up 0.3%, finishing at $1,258.30 an ounce. Among Dow Jones stocks, your best performers were Caterpillar and Boeing, and your worst performers were Nike and Visa. In the S&P 500, your best performers were Staples and Chesapeake Energy, and the worst performers were Acuity Brands and NVIDIA. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 7 cents at 123.81, CSX up 69 cents at 47.29, AEP up 14 cents at 67.29, AK Steel up 9 cents at 7.18, Marathon Petroleum up 34 cents at 50.28, and Community Trust Bank was down 40 cents to finish at 44.80. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking one last look at the weather forecast in the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, low of around 47 degrees. Tomorrow, partial cloudiness early, with scattered showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. A few storms may be severe. High of around 76 degrees, chance of rain will be at 50%. Wednesday night, thunderstorms in the evening, then variable clouds overnight, with still a chance of showers, low of around 50 degrees, chance of rain at 80%. Thursday, cloudy skies, some rain will be likely, morning high of around 50 degrees, with temperatures falling to near 40 degrees, chance of rain at 80%. Thursday night, rain with snow showers in the evening, transitioning into snow showers overnight, low of around 34 degrees, chance of precipitation at 70%, snow accumulations less than 1 inch. And on Friday, expect snow showers early, peak of sunshine later, high of around 52 degrees, chance of snow at 40%. Right now in Ashland, it's 69 degrees, in Flemingsburg, it's 66 degrees, in Inez, it's 72 degrees, and it's 69 degrees in Lexington, Winchester, and on the campus of Morehead State University.
And that will bring the curtain down on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Moraz, Nathan Gutierrez, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, and Victoria Agee. Our commentator this afternoon was retired physician Dr. Ewell Scott. And from the Kentucky News Network, Haley Hansen also contributed to our broadcast. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, Dan Translator, W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Sean Delaney and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.